Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Warlord Games official podcast. My name is Brad, and this is the podcast that digs into the excellent games that Warlord Games puts out for us to play and enjoy. Now, in recent months and weeks, there have been many, many little leaks about the upcoming tank game from Warlord called Achtung Panzer. And yet, we have heard again and again on social media posts, through messages both to this podcast page and to Warlord as a whole, that people don't know much about this game. They want to know more. Now, we find that interesting given how much information has been put out. And so, over this episode and several other episodes coming up in the coming weeks and months, we are going to get in depth about Achtung Panzer. Now, this first episode isn't going to be one of the standard Warlord cast episodes where we speak with the authors or we talk with people who enjoy the games. It is going to be just me this time because we are going to quickly review some of the information that Warlord has put out and maybe sneak in a few other bits and pieces as I have just gotten a copy of the game myself. Now, I have not had a chance to fully play it yet, and I do always believe in putting boots on the table, and I will be very soon. But before we get into the nitty-gritties about this game, I think it's important that we pull back a little bit and talk about what is Achtung Panzer. Achtung Panzer is a armored vehicle fighting game being brought out by Warlord Games that involves battles between 2 to 6 vehicles in a given game. Now, this might sound familiar to those of us who enjoy bolt action, particularly the Tank Wars expansion, but this is very different. And throughout this episode, I am going to be talking about the similarities and differences that we see right off the bat between the two games, because that has been one of the questions that many people have asked. Now, like bolt action, this game does involve using 28mm tanks, or 156 scale tanks, armored cars, and other armored vehicles. So you can use any and all of your bolt action existing vehicles that you have right now, providing that they have cards for this game. Now, there have been a lot of questions about which vehicles are included in this, and we're going to talk about some of those in a minute. But it is important to realize that many of you, if you look into your figure cases right now, have all the tanks you need to play Achtung Panzer, or at least one side of it, and you might need to pick up a couple more for an opposing side. Likewise, this is an excellent opportunity, and one that I've been taking advantage of, getting some more armored vehicles and rounding out some forces that I already have. And I've already started using those on the bolt action tabletop as well. So this is a wonderful opportunity to not only use the tanks that you have, but also to build out or bulk out those forces for bolt action that you may already have and you've always wanted to add. Now, as I said, 28mm is the scale. And just like bolt action, with this game, there are different veterancies that you can have in your tanks in this game. There are overall crew calibers that get talked about when you are buying the vehicles for your force. So just like bolt action, that you will need to build your force. You'll have a certain number of points depending on whether or not you're playing a one-off game or a campaign game. And depending on the vehicle you choose, it has a point value that you can spend to add it to your force. And depending on how elite or how low quality the crew is, that price will vary dramatically. Now, eagle-eyed listeners and viewers who have been looking at the briefs and all the information that Warlords have been putting out have noticed there are 3 calibers for crew: low, medium, and high. Now, there have been lots of questions about how aces fit into that. Now, aces are a separate quality of or caliber for crews. Yes, it is even more impressive than high quality, And as we get into further episodes, we'll dig into how aces are played out on the tabletop. Yes, they are sometimes named characters, or you can improve qualities of crew through the campaign to get up to that sort of fourth quality right off the bat of, you know, this super elite ace tank crews. Now, there have been a lot of questions about how does that work, given that if you look at the vehicle cards for this game, which you can see on the Warlord Games website, you will see that along the left-hand side, you have commanders, you have gunners, and you have drivers. And there's a little spot for crew grade with that. Now, how does that work with the different ratings? Well, each of those ratings, and there is a system for this, will allow you to earn a certain number of points that you can then allocate to the crew within. You might have a super elite tank commander who's, you know, been through many vehicles, but whose vehicle, you know, just for example, may have been blown out in the last battle, and this might just be my headcanon here, but who is now piloting a new tank, who has a new gunner and a new driver because his other crew may have died in the other vehicle or injured, or it's just a new vehicle and he's moved over. Now, with that situation, you might take the points from being a medium quality tank and you might have high quality commander, but then have much lower quality drivers and gunners. And of course, that would have a profound impact on how that vehicle maneuvers around the table and fires at other vehicles. But when having to make decisions and influencing how that tank then, you know, communicates with other tanks on the tabletop, because the commander has a higher value, there are positives, of course, for that, but the negatives for the less experienced crew. So you really do have a lot of nuanced decision-making when you're building your force about how you are going to spend those points within each vehicle. So you might think, well, I only have 2 to 3 vehicles on my side, depending on how big a game you're playing and how big a tank you're using. However, you really do need to make some decisions about who are the people in your tanks and how that will work on the tabletop. And that can really create some excellent narrative opportunities, even if you are just playing a one-off game with your mates. So in short, your overall crew caliber of low, medium, high, and ace then turns around and you spend those points, the crew grade stars, on the actual crew grade for each of the positions that we talked about. Now, one of the questions that we keep getting asked is about the activation system. Does Octopanzer use Bolt Action's Order Dice activation system or something similar to it? This game has its own unique activation system that we will get into as we go through. It does involve a little explaining, so we may do that after I've actually played some games on the tabletop so that I make sure that I explain it properly. But suffice to say, having a tank commander of a higher grade than a more experienced commander does have an influence and impact on how activations work, particularly if he's trying to order other vehicles around him on the tabletop. And of course, cover, vicinity to other tanks, and other factors do fall in line with whether or not you are successful in that endeavor. Now, another question that has been asked, is it possible, depending on how things are going, if you are right across a table from someone, do you need to roll a certain dice to be able to see them? Now, there is an element of spotting other vehicles and aiming tank guns that obviously improve your chance of hitting that vehicle, but there is a fire and spray sort of chance that if you see a vehicle darting between trees as it moves, gameplay wise, for example, you can actually take a shot at them. Obviously, you will not be as likely to hit them as if you have sighted them properly and as if you have halted your tank and aimed at them. Moving tanks obviously don't hit other tanks nearly as well as when they are, you know, halted and aimed and firing properly. Speaking of movement, many people have asked if this game uses similar movement mechanics as bolt action. It does have its own unique movement rules. And a good rule of thumb, if you are looking at the vehicle cards for this game, is that you will see a movement value on that card for that vehicle, depending on whether it's tracked, if it's light, if it's heavy, if it's half-tracked, wheeled, etc., etc. However, if something is going in reverse, it obviously isn't moving its full movement value, and so you can move less in reverse than forward. Likewise, if you give a turn order, and there are particular tokens that you can see if you are looking at this game through the Warlord website, that when certain turns are being ordered by the commander, obviously if you are ordering your vehicle to move straight forward, it can move farther than trying to move forward and then turn. This is a more nuanced game than bolt action, for example. So you do get some forward movement with your turning right or turning left or whatever direction you are turning. However, you are moving at a slower speed. So it is important to remember that though you have fewer vehicles, there are more nuanced motions and decisions that you will need to make as a tank commander in this game if you are going to be, you know, moving up to cover, moving around things, trying to get to your opponent's vehicles, or in some cases, maybe away from them. And again, your tank commander's ability to make those decisions and then order the crew in the vehicle and the actual driver's skill maneuvering the vehicle itself will impact on this as well. Now, obviously, if you've been looking at the Warlord Games website, you will see many different options for buying into this game, be it different box sets, be it starter sets, be it the book itself, be it card sets. And so I wanted to work through a couple of the misconceptions. A lot of people think that you need to buy the whole big box with the big box deals in order to play. No, there is a rule book for this game. And yes, you can play this game if you have your own tanks and just the rule book. However, there are also additional card sets. Now, those card sets give you pre-filled out vehicle cards that you can easily access and look very nice on the tabletop, I might add, to help you to play the game. Likewise, there are asset cards and event cards that you can get along with that. And there are asset cards that line up specifically to each nation. So as you are playing this game, and we'll get to asset cards in a minute, there are matching national assets that you can bring in as a tank commander to, on the tabletop, that really do add to the game and add to the national characteristics that you would associate with, if you are particularly familiar with bolt action, maybe national rules or particular aspects of that nation's military that you may be familiar with. Artillery for the Soviets, for example, fire and maneuver, or various weapons teams for the Americans, for example, or German pioneers and Panzerfaust teams, tank hunters, things like that, if it's the Germans, etc., etc. Now, there are four main nationalities in the book as we speak right now. We have Germany, we have Britain and the Commonwealth, we have the Soviet Union, and we have the USA. Now, does that mean other things won't be coming? Absolutely not. Additional nations, theaters of operations, and tanks will be introduced in future expansions. Even says it in the book. Now, there have been lots and lots of questions about just what vehicles are included. Because I've mentioned that you can get the cards. I've also mentioned that there are vehicles in the book. All the vehicle profiles are in the book. However, you would need to copy them onto a blank template, which of course are already in the book, as are all the asset cards and all of the event cards that you need. But let's talk about some of the vehicles that are listed on the cards that you can get if you happen to get some of the national card packs. So let's start with the British, for example. We have the Sherman Firefly, the Humber Mark IV, the M10 Achilles, the A34 Comet, the Cromwell 7 cruiser tank. We have the Churchill 4. We have the Stuart 5, the M5A1 light tank, the Churchill ARV, the Churchill NA75 infantry tank. We have just the basic Sherman 5, the Humber Mark II, the M10 Wolverine, the Sherman 3, the Daimler Mark I armored car. We have the Archer tank destroyer. We have different Stuart Mark IV variations. We have Churchill Mark III and IV cards, amongst others, and additional tank ace cards to go with those. You also get various counters that you will need for having your tank zipped up or unzipped, for example, or some of the ammunition cards that you will, ammunition tokens, spotting tokens, veterancy tokens, and just the overall action phase template that looks a little something out of Cruel Seas for those who happen to like that game, and assorted other cards. So you really do get a lot in each of those card packs. Now, I hear some of you asking, are those all the vehicles that are available for that nation? No, those are just some of the vehicle cards that are visible on the card pack pre-order that happens to be on the Warlord website. However, I think it was important to list some of those just to give you an idea of what is possible. Now, there are far more vehicles I know in the book itself, and I would imagine that if you have vehicles in this game, you would be able to find a vehicle that is they have vehicles from across the war. They have vehicles of different weights and different types as far as wheeled, tracked, half-tracked. So depending on what you are wanting to put on the tabletop, you will either be able to find the vehicle you want, either in the book or in the card pack, or you could probably find, in my case, I know, for example, I really have one of those niche, weird German tanks in my collection that I really wanted to play in this game that didn't necessarily have a profile, but I was able to find a quick, almost identical counts as alternative that really just matched perfectly as a bolt action player. I just went, oh, they almost have the same profile in the game as well. So immediately I was able to use, I think, almost every tank in my collection, and I have quite a few tanks. Likewise, let's take a quick look at some of the vehicles available to the American forces. We have the M7 Priest. We have again have the M5A1 Stuart. We have the M20 Stout Car. We have the M24 Chaffee. There is the M26 Pershing. There are many different versions of the Sherman, from just the basic to the EZ8. There is the M36 Jackson. We have the M10 tank destroyer, different versions of the Stuart, the M8 Greyhound, the Hellcat, the Jumbo Assault Tank, of course, a different version of the Sherman, and assorted other vehicles. You'll notice that there's a few overlapping profiles because of the Lend-Lease program. Likewise, the Soviets also have access to, for example, of some of the Shermans and the Churchills from the other nations because they used them in the war. But there's also many other Soviet vehicles available, such as the KV-8S flamethrower tank. We have the KV-85, the SU-85, the BA-6 armored car, the ISU-122 assault gun, the KV-1 heavy tank, multiple versions of the T-34, the IS-2. We have the M4A276 MCHA medium tank, the M10 tank destroyer. There's the T-70 light tank, the SU-100, the OT-3485 flamethrower tank, the SU-152, the Big Cat Hunter assault gun, KV-2, and the SU-76M. Again, many other versions of the T-34 as well. And since I'm going through the nations, we might as well get through some of the Germans as well. We have the classic Tiger One. We have different versions of the Panther, depending on different points of the war and technology levels and supply levels. We have the Stug III. We have the Panzer IV, multiple versions. We have the SDKFZ 164 Hornisse or Nashorn. We have multiple versions of Jag Panthers and Jag Panzers. We have the Stu 42 assault gun. We have the Panzer IV, again, different versions, the Ferdinand / Elephant, and again, many other versions of Jag Panzers and Jag Panthers. So as you can see, there is a wide variety of vehicles just in the vehicle cards that have been previewed so far. And that's only the beginning, because there are many more vehicles in the book itself that you can make your cards for to play on the tabletop. And they might actually be included in the card packs, because I haven't actually seen those in hand yet. But what's really nice is, having looked through a lot of the profiles, there is a really nice feel for each vehicle that you get by looking at it. The movement values, the weapon systems, the armor values, just everything has been really nicely laid out, and it gives you a really nice feeling of being able to put that tank on the tabletop and have it feel like it would in the war. It is a very nuanced set of profiles that really does give you a lot of options when you are building your forces. And there are just lots of different cool ways that you can fit out your force. And then, depending on the veterancy of the crew, how you are able to set up your force as far as having a commander for the whole thing, and how the profiles of your crew within each tank sort of add to what it does on the tabletop and how it interacts with terrain and the battle itself. Speaking of terrain and the battle itself, there have been some questions about, are infantry at all in this game? Are artillery pieces or anti-tank guns a part of this game? Well, they are, and they're in this game as part of what we call the asset cards. Now, you can, as part of your force, buy some asset cards or through event cards, have access to different events on the tabletop that interact with certain parts of the terrain on the tabletop. There's something called ambush terrain. Now, is it always an ambush? No. Ambush terrain is a type of terrain because it makes ideal concealment for infantry and anti-tank artillery, allowing for such assets to hide until it's time to ambush a passing tank with a surprise attack, for example. Examples of this terrain might include buildings, ruins, rubble, rocky ground, woods, etc. Through the interaction with this terrain, it allows players to use some of their asset cards. When playing an asset card, most of the necessary information is shown on the card, and you might have things such as airstrikes, artillery, mortar blasts, anti-tank guns, snipers, anti-tank teams, all sorts of different elements that may appear on the tabletop. This might also include ambush, actual tank ambushes, and there are rules for fixed emplacements, there are rules for bocage, there is all sorts of fantastic World War II themed terrain that you can use to give your tank cover on the tabletop, but also to give your opponents fits if they don't know exactly what is hiding in some of that terrain on the tabletop. Now, is every bit of terrain on the tabletop going to trigger an ambush card? No. However, there is on every tabletop something that a tanker needs to be wary of. Now, I did mention earlier that there is a lot of great differentiation between the profiles, and I did not want to forget that this game also has various keywords that can be that are attributed to units within the game across the different nations that really does give, again, different feeling for each vehicle, giving it its own individual character. We have things like pintle mounts, shirts in, half tracks, things being open topped, stabilizers, turretless vehicles, support weapons, scout rules. There's all sorts of different traits, as they're called in this game. Things like armor all around, cumbersome, even flamethrowers that really do add to how that vehicle is different from the ones next to it on that profile list or on the different vehicle cards, allowing you to choose the vehicles that you really do want to put out on the tabletop. Now, when playing on the tabletop, we do on this podcast and on many others love to talk about what that looks like on the tabletop. Now, there is not just one battle you're going to play again and again and again in this particular game. There are six scenarios that you can play through if you are just playing a one-off game. They have complete rules that you can go through, deployments, objectives, and they clearly lay out how you want to play the game. And while that is definitely where I'm going to start when I'm playing this game, I have to say one of the things that I'm most excited about is the campaign system. This game has, I mean, yes, you can play it and enjoy the one-off games, and I'm sure I'm going to be doing a lot of that at club nights or at different larger events. This game is specifically designed, and I'm surprised I haven't said it earlier, for big event play. More than two players. You can play this with five or six players, each player getting their own tank, for example, maybe in teams or in an all-around battle royale. That all of those rules are in here, and this game is designed to be played with lots of different players, lots of different tanks, which makes it a far different gaming experience than, say, Bolt Action, for example, which is designed, as we all know, for a 1v1 or similarly scaled games. Now, the campaign system for this game is wonderful. You can have people of influence. There are actual rules for members of your crew having quirks, and they have some wacky quirks. Some of them makes the characters within your tanks actual characters that have lucky charms or the ability to have an eagle eye to spot or being able to fix things, or negatives as well. There could be that you have perhaps a crewman that is, has seen too much and needs to drink, and so might be a drunk. Or we have troublemakers, Sunday drivers, smooth operators, or maybe they're just a little slow. There are all kinds of quirks in there. Now, as you play through the campaigns, of course, you'll play through some of the missions that I talked about earlier. You'll gain experience as you go, and there's different outcomes for the crew depending on what happened. They could be, continue to be fresh and ready to go. They could be fatigued. They could be wounded. They could be killed. And there's all sorts of different outcomes that actually tie into what is happening in the campaign, how people will advance in that campaign, and if some of the crews just need to be retired. There's also what do you do with tanks that are damaged or partially destroyed or fully destroyed? How does that play into it, as well as reputation, refits, ace commanders, and overall winning campaigns? Because you can actually win a campaign in this game. There is so much to this. I mean, we have been going for half an hour, and I haven't even gotten into how vehicles are spotted, the proper shooting rules, how you move vehicles properly. There is a ton to Achtung Panzer that we just are not going to get to today, which I guess is going to bring us to upcoming episodes of this podcast about this game. Look for more on Achtung Panzer on future episodes of the Warlord Games podcast, and please go to the Warlord Games website if you have not already, and you can see all the different ways that you can get in with this game and really bring those high intensity, fun tank battles that you've been wanting to play on the tabletop to life using this brand new game from Warlord Games. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to hear anything else, please let us know your thoughts. If you enjoyed this episode, I know it's a little different from what we normally do. If you would like to hear something specific about Achtung Panzer or any other game that Warlord makes, please do reach out. You can find us at the podcast network that hosts this particular podcast, Cast Dice. Please go to the Cast Dice Facebook page, CastDice, or please reach out to the Warlord Games official community page, and they can pass any additional questions my way. Until next time, I hope you've enjoyed listening to the official Warlord Games podcast. Have a great time out there, guys, and we'll see you through those tank sights soon. Good night.